All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Dragons. Datson Curry here, back and better than ever. Wow, just coming off minutes, you know, single-digit minutes after the episode here. Curry, give me your instant reaction.
That episode was jam-packed with plot movement and, yeah, just a lot happened. There's a lot to unpack. Thought it was a great episode overall. It's the fifth episode this season, so... top five for sure. one or two. I thought it was great. That was great.
Absolutely, completely agree. Definitely, I'd be at top two for sure. You want to just take it from the top, Kerr?
Yeah. So, first off, the title.
Yes.
Title was "We Light the Way," which, as we discussed on this week's preview pod, it's the words of House Hightower. So that was an interesting choice. And it was really like a minor thing in this episode. You know, the moves made by Allison Hightower, not really by the house as a whole. But yeah, it was, and we'll get into it a little later with, you know, her dress kind of making a statement, and everything that Otto spoke to her about early in the episode. But so that's where we got the title.
Absolutely. So we kick off the episode. We got two randos on the screen. We talked about them in the preview pod. We didn't know who they were, but now we learn very quickly who they are and why they matter.
Right. So it's Rhea Royce and her cousin Sir Gerald Royce. I was kind of spoiled for me on Twitter that was Rhea Royce. I didn't want to spoil it on the preview pod, but you know, we had heard Damon refer to her as a bronze bitch. And sorry for the language, but you know, she wears the bronze armor. I guess that's what the Royces wear. That's what Gerald was wearing as well. So they're in the Vale, which is their land.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous in the Vale.
Very nice. Yeah. Decidedly different than the Vale we've seen in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I'm a similar land, but you know, when you think of the Vale, you think of people getting thrown through the moon door, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Clearly we haven't seen that. But anyway, yeah, so we have Rhea Royce, her cousin, and they're kind of chatting. She's hunting. She's a big hunter, Damon's wife, and she's riding off on her own. And she comes upon this hooded figure, and it's Damon. I mean, it looks the same kind of disguise he wore when he was out in King's Landing, so we should have recognized him right away. And she also kind of recognized it.
Grim Reaper vibes from your boy's fit for sure. He's with the big hood on. He just
huge hood, like a boxer type hood.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kurt.
And we got some good dialogue between her and Damon in their very brief scene. And she kind of we hear her use the lines that he has used about her throughout the series so far. So it's like, all right, she's aware of his opinion of her, and he's, you know, she says something about, you know, have you come to finally consummate our marriage? So they never consummated the marriage, mm-hmm, and never had sex. Maybe Damon's, you know, he's got this ED issue that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Maybe that afflicted him, or maybe he's just not into her, mm-hmm, which is also likely. He said, you know, the sheep in the Vale are prettier than my wife, he said. And she repeats that line.
Yeah, she referenced it.
So she's asking, you know, what are you doing here? Like, has your brother finally grown sick of you? You know, you went down there for the princess. Like, what, you know, you've been replaced. Like, what are you going to do now? And like, kind of as she's saying this, she's just looking at him, and he's kind of like, almost looked like, I mean, he's got like the wizard robe. He almost looked like he was like casting a spell on the horse. Like, it was real,
weird. It was odd. Yeah.
And like she, as she's saying these things, you know, asking what he's doing there, you know, what are you going to do next? She kind of realizes I'm in trouble. Like she realizes that she's in trouble. So she goes to grab her bow, and we don't really see what Damon does. We just see, the horse just falls back on top of Rhea, and she's out. She's probably paralyzed.
Down for the count.
Yeah, we don't see her move again. She can still speak, but she is done. And she talks some shit to Damon, says, oh, you know, I knew you couldn't finish, and he comes back with a rock, and that's the end of the scene. So
yeah.
And we hear later they reference, tragic accident, fell, and her neck and skull were smashed by the horse.
Yes.
So,
Damon didn't take it lightly at all. But we got the Rock pickup after he gives a little bit of a walk away. So, yeah, she was talking shit in a big way. So fast forward, next scene, we got the King. He's yakking on the boat. He's not feeling this sea excursion the boys are on to go see the sea snake, right?
He's struggling. We know they're heading to Driftmark to see the Valarians and propose the marriage. And yeah, he's yakking over the edge. His new hand, Sir Lionel Strong, gives him a handkerchief from the handkerchief, and he's struggling, and everyone knows it. Everyone that's around him can tell. We're skipping around a little bit because they skipped back and forth a lot in the beginning. But mm-hmm. when he does get to Driftmark, Lord Corlys several times is like, do you need me to get you a chair?
Are you good, bro?
Yeah, my lord. Yeah. He's walking with a cane. He's struggling, so he's not doing well. We see later, he's getting the treatment from the worst doctor of all time, Maester Mellos. Yeah. He's like, oh, leeches. He loves the leeches. We'll keep doing the leeches.
That's his go-to.
And I did see Paddy Considine, the actor, this week in some news article, kind of confirmed. He said that the King has leprosy, which we've heard grayscale, which is kind of similar to leprosy, but we've never heard of someone actually getting leprosy in Game of Thrones and Westeros. So he's got leprosy. Not too familiar with it because I don't think it's around anymore. But he's struggling with it. You can see his hand is not doing well. It's like up his arm. Looks like it might be on like his neck a little bit too. Yeah, he's struggling, and the whole episode, yeah, he's not doing well. But back to the beginning, yeah, he's struggling with the boat. He's seasick, and Rhaenyra's there with Sir Criston, and there was one thing, it seems like there wasn't much of a time jump this episode.
Correct.
Compared to what we've seen before. There was no, usually there's some sort of plot device, small council, some sort of meeting where someone mentions like a time jump. They didn't mention a time jump this episode, so it seemed like it's within, it's relatively soon after last week's episode.
Yes, absolutely.
Because last week ended with talking about the wedding, the marriage proposal. Now here they go, they're actually going to propose it to the Valarians. So not much of a time jump at all. Maybe, a week, a few weeks, a month. Not long compared to what we've seen.
Yeah, like almost Old Thrones-esque for sure.
Yes.
So the Queen stays behind. And so this is just kind of like a little excursion for the King to ask for the marriage. Queen stays behind, and she talks to our boy Plato as he heads out of town with his head hung in shame. But they have a very, very important conversation, Curry.
Yes, and again, another clue that this was recent. Plato hasn't left yet. He was dismissed at the end of last week's episode, and he's still making his leave. So I'm sure they weren't like, "Yeah, take your time."
Yeah.
So relatively quick turnaround. This is Plato's only scene. He's getting ready to leave. He's mounting his horse, and Alicent is there, and she's like, she's really sad, and he's kind of blaming her. He's like, You did this. Like, you're really dumb. You were outplayed. You sided with Rhaenyra. You believed her. And now, this has happened. And she's like, I believe her. Like, what do you mean? Your informant was wrong. It's an honest mistake. Like, it's okay. She really believes her friend. And Plato he cuts to the core of it. He says, look, you're being, loyal to Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra, the King will die, whether it's next couple months or years. He's not long for this world. He says, he's not gonna live die an old man. Mm. And when that happens, Rhaenyra's succession will be challenged. Prepare Aegon to rule, and prepare Aegon to rule or pray for mercy. Basically says, look, if she's going to be queen, she's going to kill your heirs, because your son, your daughter, because that's the only way to have no one else claiming the throne. So either prepare Aegon to rule or pray for mercy. So strong words from Plato tonight.
Yeah, and he is stern and he is strong with his words, but he gives you know, a legit embrace here to his daughter as he sets out, as he kind of just is ousted from town. Big embrace, both sad. She's obviously more sad. He's more serious, but you know, Plato will be back, I feel, for sure. But this is his exit of King's Landing for now.
And this was the first time we really saw Alicent, one, without Plato, and two, kind of working the politics, the schemes herself.
Yes.
Without her dad being behind everything. And obviously his words were kind of in her mind as she thought about all this and her moves. But yeah, now she's totally alone. She doesn't really have anyone to rely on, and yeah, she makes her own moves this episode.
Got it. So going back to the Sea Snake, he's kind of, was he showing up the king in the beginning? What was going on? So he doesn't give him that royal welcome that the king's looking for, and kind of just break down that whole scene, that dynamic, Curry.
Yeah. So they get there, the royal party gets there, and there's not like a big welcoming party. There's not people to receive them. It's Laenor Velaryon's there with his friends. You know, we don't know who it is at this time. Later we find out it's his name's Sir Joffrey. Anyway, so yeah, so the two of them are there, kind of just like, I think they were like sparring, hanging out. They weren't there to welcome the king.
No.
And then Lady Lena shows up, and she's kind of the welcoming party, but it's very underwhelming. And Sir Lionel, the Hand, Lord Lionel, he says, you know, what is going on? What's going on? Where's Lord Corlys? Why do you guys insult the king this way? Like, what's the problem?
And
they kind of said, go ahead. He big timed him, Lord Corlys. He big timed him. He said, you know, Lena says, oh, you know, welcome to High Tide. That's the name of the castle. Pretty cool name of the castle.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lord Corlys just returned. He's getting everything ready inside, basically.
Yeah, and he has the power to kind of big time, because the king's coming in and he's asking for like a solid. You know, he's asking for, it's a big deal what he's asking for, but the Sea Snake has the ability to big time just because the dynamic where the king's going across the freaking choppy waters to get over here, and they reference it later in the episode, but it's a little bit, you know, tough look for the king having to make this trip, get shown up at the intro, and then you know, be kind of like negotiating. You know, he's not coming from a true position of power when he gets in these negotiations, and we'll get to that. But it's just interesting dynamic for sure. Go ahead, Kurt. Where do you want to go next?
Let's just wrap things up with Lord Corlys.
Yeah.
We'll skip over Alice and Laura Strong. We'll get to them after. But Lord Corlys, you know, he welcomes in Viserys. Viserys is coughing. He's clearly not doing well. And then right away, Rhaenys shows up, like two hands, like burst through the door. He's like, oh, cousin, how are you? Like, strange behavior from her. And she like goes and like embraces him and like grabs his hands, and he like, you know, he has to brace himself. His hands are hurt. Like, he's not doing well. And she sees that. And she asks him, she says, you know, are you well? And he is coughing, and he kind of bluntly says, you know, yes, I'm very well.
Yeah.
Like, they know he's not doing well. They know that, they may not know how poorly he is. They may not know, you know, that his days are numbered. I mean, we don't know that necessarily, but later, as we see later in the episode, he's really struggling. So it's starting to get out, and it's just going to make the issue of succession even greater issue, you know, more importance to it. So Rhaenys is there, and she or Lord Corlys, someone informs, you know, everyone of Lord Corlys informs the king of the hunting mishap with Rhea Royce, that she's dead.
Yes.
So that's the first that they've heard of it. So news travels fast in Westeros, even at this time.
Yes.
They mentioned, oh yeah, you know, she stood to inherit Runestone, but there's no heirs. So, how about that?
Yeah,
just kind of a little little mention. That's all, that's similar to like the plot device for this week's episode. That, you know, there's no roundtable discussion, but that's about as much as we get. Is that little comment, that discussion about Rhea Royce. But then, yeah, then we get to the meat and potatoes, the marriage proposal.
Yes.
You know, your son should marry my daughter. And right away, it's, you know, they probably knew this was coming.
Yes.
Somewhat, and because they had their issues right away, they needed to answer their questions. One, what's going on with Succession? You know, who's it going to be? He's like, it's going to be Rhaenyra. Obviously, mm-hmm. she's going to be the queen. Your son Laenor will be the king consort.
Yeah.
Which is like similar to, you know, today in England, that's
Camilla.
That's Camilla. She's queen consort.
Yeah.
The consort or consort.
Consort.
Consort. I mean, yeah. Makes sense.
Okay. I watched The Crown, so.
okay. I don't. So yeah. So they make that clear, and then he's like, oh, okay, all right, makes sense. And their heirs will be the royal succession. Okay, that sounds
love
good.
That.
Now, will they be, you know, with the Westerosi tradition, their last name, you know, their family name will be Velaryon, right? So that was that took some balls to say that, some stones from the sea snake.
Yeah.
It's basically saying he wants to not want, like, he doesn't mean it maliciously, but he wants his name to be, you know, the royal name that gets carried on for however long they can,
yeah.
As opposed to the Targaryen dynasty, which has been around since Aegon the Conqueror, and Viserys is—he's not happy about that. He's like, "Are you suggesting, you know, the Targaryen dynasty end with me, with my daughter?" And he says, "All right, how about this? The kids—they'll have the last name Velaryon, but whoever takes the throne, whether it's a king or a queen, very very progressive,
yeah, super progressive
of Viserys to say this." Whether, you know, regardless of gender, firstborn, when they take the throne, they will be known as Targaryen. And they say, all right, that's acceptable. He says, and, you know, dragons will rule for the next 100 years, which, as we know, that's pretty accurate. I mean, maybe a little more than that, but
yeah.
So yeah, so that's the proposal, and Lord Corlys finds it acceptable, and, you know, him and his wife discuss it a little more later, but. Yeah, so that's what we get. Very progressive. Velaryon, Targaryen, doesn't matter if it's a firstborn son, firstborn daughter, but that's going to be the ruler. So it's a nice little setup that they planned.
For sure. You want to go back to Alicent, or do you want to put a bow on Sea Snake here with his conversations post-game, post-meeting?
Yeah, sure. So the post-game meeting, you know, he's talking to his wife, and you can see, you know, the throne in High Tide in Driftmark, it actually looks like it's made of like driftwood. It's actually pretty
cool.
I mean, driftwood is obviously, you think it's like shitty, but the throne is, it's pretty cool. And then you also, I don't know if you caught it, in the background, in that same room, is they had like the crab feeder's mask was like on display.
Really? Love that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty cool. So they're talking, him and his wife, Corlys and Rhaenys. And they're talking about Laenor, and some comments we get there. And this is the first we've heard of this or seen of this. They say, you know his true nature, you know. And I guess there was a little hint of it with the conversation with Rhaenyra and him on the beach as well. But they say, you know his true nature. We're putting him in danger. His succession will be challenged. And Lord Corlys, again, very progressive. He says, look, like. You should have been on the throne, you know, Rhaenys, the queen who never was.
Correct.
You should have been on the throne. So I don't care if, you know, succession will be challenged. Like, we're writing that wrong. And she's like, she's not really on board with it. She's like, look, like, I put it behind me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the battle I want. So that was interesting because now, you know, she's saying she doesn't want it. She's worried about the danger this puts. You know, her future grandkids in and her son.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she might not back Rhaenyra, depending on how things go here.
Yeah.
Because she says, you know, that's not my battle. It's not, you know, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah, and it was interesting for me, I think, a little bit, because the Sea Snake has been, you know, little in our eyes, maybe a little power hungry, a little bit like looking for a way to get in, for sure. And this kind of gave us you know, it wasn't all, we're thinking it's just like, you know, classic, you know, Thronesian, where they're like, you know, the men just want to rule, the men just want power, you know, Plato-esque. But he gives a little bit more where he says, like, I've been trying to right this wrong, like, our whole lives together. Like, it's his, a lot of his motivation appears to be, like, that she got screwed out of the seat, and now he's, like, he's power-hungry to get them back where they belong. Less,
yeah, yeah.
More about, like, you know, his wife getting hosed, less about, like, I'm the sea snake, I deserve to be, you know, as close to the Iron Throne as possible. So I thought that was just a little interesting. But let's go back to the queen. She is doing some chattering while the king's away, right? And some important chatter for sure.
Yes. So Queen Alicent, she's hanging out in the Godswood, where a lot of characters like to hang out and have important conversations.
Drama, yeah.
And you know, the king's away, they're in Driftmark, and she's there, and we see Larys Strong. So he's the son of Lionel Strong, the brother of Harwin Strong, and he's got like a limp. He's got a bad foot, bad leg, walks with a cane. So he's not, you know, not a knight, not a fighter, but he clearly is of the Littlefinger type, you know, of the Plotto type. He's making moves. So and he was very, very clever in his discussion here with Alison. He kind of says, he points to, you know, this flower from Braavos. Oh, you know, it's a foreigner and it's thriving here. You know, very curious. You know, clearly kind of referring to the same way Alicent's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's foreign. I mean, she's not from King's Landing, but and she's thriving there. And he kind of says, you know, oh, you know, look, like you seem like you need an ally, you know, because Princess Rhaenyra doesn't seem to be your ally. You know, he's speaking kind of, you know, in riddles almost. And she's listening, and she says, look, state your purpose. Like, yeah. I don't want
to
hear it.
Like, get to the point.
And he kind of still is being subtle in the way he speaks, which I really like that about his character, from, you know, about a schemer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, yo, you know, I'm just really concerned about, you know, Princess Rhaenyra, you know, because she's unwell. And, you know, us as the viewer, we're like, what is he talking about, unwell? Like,
yeah.
And Alicent, again, she's like, wait, what do you mean? She's not unwell. And he's like, oh, no, really? Because, you know, the maester, you know, the other night when she got back from King's Landing, you know, the maester brought her some tea. I figured she was unwell. Mm. You know, and Alicent's like, she's putting two and two together. She's like, tea? Like, what do you mean tea?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you know, tea, like direct orders from the king. So if it was from the king, it must be really important. I guess she's really unwell. So he's a schemer. He was
Littlefinger vibes for sure.
Yes. So he was poking and prodding Alicent, and he kind of put some things in motion that start up later in the episode. But so he's obviously, you know, he's implying that she's taking this tea, which I guess is kind of common knowledge that this tea is, you know, plan B or whatever. So so Rhaenyra is like, okay, or Rhaenyra. So Alicent now is thinking, really, like, Rhaenyra took this plan B tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, could it really be true that her and Daemon, blah, blah, you know, her and Daemon hooked up, they coupled.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to find out what's going on. She's clearly shook. She was shook last week because, you know, she believed Rhaenyra, and it led to her father being dismissed and kicked out. So she's having regrets, and she thinks that her friend was telling the truth, and she stood by her, and now she thinks she may have messed up.
Yeah, exactly. Now we get to a little open marriage chatter on the coast of Driftmark, right, Curry?
Right, right. So again, this is before we heard the comment from Corlys about about his true nature. So keep that in mind. But so Rhaenyra and Laenor, they're walking on the shore, having a nice little convo. You know, they seem to be they're doing well together. They're fine. They're cousins. Cool, whatever.
They grew up together. The they did say that, which was, we got a little bit more background there for sure.
Right, right. And so that, again, they're a lot of people were talking, weren't very direct in their discussions. So this was an interesting interesting analogy here that Rhaenyra used. She said, kind of, you know, I like roast duck. You know, I don't like goose. You know, it's a matter of taste. Whereas, and he's like, you know, oh, you know, goose is pretty good. And she's like, you know, it's not for me. So how about for this marriage, you know, we do our duty. Whereas, you know, you can have your goose and I'll have my roast duck. You know, we dine how we choose. So it's, you know, read between the lines. It's not very subtle. She's saying, look, you know, I'm not into you and I feel like you're probably not into me. So how about, you know, we get married, we do our political duty, but we keep our, you know, we each get to do what we want. Very, very progressive, even by today's standards. And they agree. They're both down for that. And we know why. I mean, she's got her sights on other men, and you know, later we find out so does Sir Laenor.
Absolutely. Yes, very much so. Sights on one other man particularly.
So,
go ahead.
Yes. So and that's after the scene with Corlys and Rhaenys, we get to Laenor and who we find out is Joffrey. Sir Joffrey, I didn't get a last name, but he introduced himself as like the knight who kisses, the knight that kisses, something like that. Very, very strange. And so this redhead guy, they're hanging out, they're talking, and they kind of, you know, they share a kiss, and it's obvious who they are and what's going on. And so Joffrey is kind of, he's kind of a schemer, and he says, oh, like, interesting, if she proposed this to you, she must have a paramour of her own.
Yes.
I wonder who. But they're both totally down for this agreement, this arrangement. They're fine with it. But he's like, that's interesting. I wonder who. As we hear those words, we cut to the next scene, and it shows Sir Criston.
Yes.
And he's on the boat, and he had a big episode.
Yes.
Potentially a woat, and it seems like it's like early in the morning or something. It's only Sir Criston and Rhaenyra are on the boat on the deck, and he basically proposes to her. He says, you know, look, we've talked many times about how you hate the idea of being in this political marriage, you know, being married off to serve your father, to serve the realm. Why, you know, come with me, leave it all behind. We can go to Essos. Like, I know how to get there. I have, you know, we can smuggle out of the city and start over and be no one. And
he shoots a shot.
Yeah, it was bold. Very, very bold. Shoots a shot. And I think, you know, Rhaenyra, while she's flattered, she doesn't take her title, you know, her future title lightly. She's like, look, I'm supposed to be the crown. You know, I am the crown. I can't walk away from the crown. This marriage isn't for the crown. I am the crown. You know, this is bigger. She starts talking about Aegon. Like, she almost gets into, you know, the Song of Ice and Fire. She's like, look, like, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than all of us. And she says to him, look, you know, we're getting married. We're doing this. But we have an understanding. So, you know, wink, wink. Like, we have an understanding. You know, we can keep doing our thing. And Sir Criston doesn't take kindly to that.
He's not having it.
He says, you want me to be your whore?
Sheesh.
Say that to the princess. Like, he kind of storms off. He wasn't happy. And that's the end of their scene. But that's not the end of Sir Criston. So almost exactly the next scene, you know, we return to King's Landing.
Yeah.
The king getting out of the carriage is stumbling. He's struggling.
He's shot.
He's watching. Yeah, king is really struggling. And right away, the queen summons Sir Criston to her chambers. And this, I thought, was probably the most interesting scene in the whole episode.
Very much so.
So she summons Sir Criston and clears out the room of all her servants, and she starts questioning him. Now, she's very deliberate in her delivery. She doesn't say ever. She doesn't ask him anything or accuse him of anything.
No.
She's just trying to find the words to ask him. And she's like, look, like, I've heard some rumors, you know, the other night with Rhaenyra. And, you know, I know you're her servant. You're her sworn protector. You're loyal to her. But, you know, I heard some rumors, and I really got to know. And, you know, she doesn't know anything about Ser Kristen at this point.
No.
She thinks that Daemon and her were together, and she's gonna ask him about Daemon. Ser Kristen he blows it, man. He blows it.
He does.
And she asks him, she doesn't even ask him, like, oh, did you do it? But she's asking about, you know, the queen's virtue and all that, and he just kind of spits it out. He's like, look,
it's
I
true.
Did it.
It's true.
The sin you're speaking of, I did it. It happened. I'm sorry. You know, rather than torture me, just show me a quick death. Like, he's going from 0 to 60.
He's on, like, that knight, like, noble kick. Like, I got to do this. Like, this is, you know, I got to die because of everything I did. Like, you know, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like, just.
He's like, look, my honor is ruined, and I broke my vows of chastity. You know, just kill me.
Unbelievable.
Yes. And her face, like, she is stunned.
Yes.
Because you see it in her eyes. Great, great job of the actress. Emily Carey, it's her last episode. She was great, like, showing that she's shocked and sad and stunned, but also, like, hiding the fact that, like, hey, I wasn't asking about you.
Yes.
Like, at no point did she ever say that.
No.
So that was stunning, and just, yeah, very, very pivotal scene for our queen.
Unbelievable. Where do we go from here, Kerr?
Let's see. So from here. Again, yeah, this was the next scene was Viserys with the leeches. He just looks like shit. He's got leprosy, and he kind of starts just like philosophizing about his life with the hand, with Lionel.
Yes.
You know, was I a good king? Like, are they going to sing songs about me? You know, what would have happened if I had been tested? And, you know, Lionel always gives him good advice. He's like, look, like, you weren't tested, and that's probably a good thing. Like, let's not worry about it.
Yes.
But still, it was an interesting scene with the two of them, just because, you know, the king almost it was foreshadowing, as we've seen a lot with the king, that, you know, he knows his time is coming to an end. He knows he's not doing well, and he's kind of coming to grips with that, thinking, you know, what could I have done differently? What is this my life? Like, how will I be remembered?
What's my legacy? 100%.
Yeah.
The hand. He does kind of snip back in the hand a little bit, where he's just kind of like, you could have, like, gasped me up and been like, dude, like, you're not dying.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But he's like, dude, you're shot. Like, it's not good. So, strong new hand of the king reminds me a little bit of, like this really good, like, for a football analogy, for the football fans out there, it's like the really good, like, offensive coordinator, like, leaves. And then, like, this guy's, like, just like a defensive line coach. Like, he gets a sent, like, they stayed in house, and, like, he's good. He gives sound advice, but, like, I don't know, hand of the king vibe. He doesn't give me, like, the most hand of the king vibes. It's more, like, just, like, grunty, like, warrior, strong man vibes. That's what I'm getting.
I don't know. I think he's good. I think
you like him.
He's been given the best advice, you know, throughout the entire season so far. So I think
you like you're pro. You're cool with it.
I'm pro Lionel Strong. I think he's a good hand of the king. And I also. From what we've seen so far, but who actually knows, because he's got, you know, those two sons that kind of are his extension, but it doesn't seem like he has any political aspirations of his own.
No.
The way the Plato did. So.
Correct. All right, continue on, Kerr.
So the next scene, and now this is kind of where we are for the rest of the episode.
Yes.
Is the wedding, or, you know, turns out it wasn't really the wedding. It was the welcome party, the rehearsal dinner, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And we get a dragon shot, which we saw in the trailer, and it's Sea Smoke. And I got the name wrong. I apologize. On the preview pod, I said Meraxes, which was one of the, like, original Dragons. This was Melis.
Mm-hmm.
Also very, very big, and that's what Rhaenys rides. And so we have Rhaenys and Laenor on Melis and Sea Smoke. So we got two more dragons. So a lot of dragons are in King's Landing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We have the houses starting to arrive and being announced by Sir Harold. We got Jason Lannister making another appearance, our favorite Lannister, just as douchey as ever. We have House Hightower. Notably, it's not Otto. It's Otto's brother is like an older brother, I guess, is the head of House Hightower.
Correct.
Just a note, you know, Hightower, it's an old town, and the Citadel is there. They mention, if you recall from Game of Thrones, Citadel, old town, Maester State, where our boy Sam Tarly went to become a maester.
Yeah, college, like, yes, for sure.
So they're talking about the wedding, saying, you know, it's going to be a wedding for the histories. You know, Viserys is, chopping it up, and the queen is noticeably absent. Queen's not there.
Correct.
And at this point, Daemon also isn't there.
Yeah. You want to go to when Daemon walks in?
Sure. So, well, right before Daemon walks in, Sir Gerald Royce does. He is there. He's speaking to the king, and he kind of gets cut off. So we don't really get to hear much more than just, you know, their exchange of greetings. He gets cut off because the Velaryon's entrance, and that's, you know, show-stopping entrance. It's, you know, the groom, and they were rolling pretty deep, a lot of people. And after the Velaryon's roll in, then we get Daemon. Just silence in the crowd, just walks up, he doesn't make a big deal about it. He walks in, but all eyes are on him.
Where's security?
What's he going to do?
Where's the bouncer?
I mean, he's a prince. Like, it's tough. I don't know.
And it's not like everyone knows that he, you know, it's just like in terms of like what happened and everything like that, it's still kind of in-house a little bit, you know? So if he's banned, it causes a scene. It's like, what the hell's going on, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's pretty quick for him to.
Yes.
I guess they traveled to, you know, Driftmarsh and back. So and Driftmark and back. So it makes sense that he could travel to the Vale and back. But especially since he has a dragon.
There wasn't a chair set out for him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, there was not a chair set out for him. He walked up to, you know, the head table, and they pulled up a chair for him, and he was kind of. Him and Rhaenyra are making eyes at each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Next showstopper. So the king's making a speech, king's speech, and talking about, you know, the uniting of two great houses and the Age of Dragons. And before he really gets into it, he stops and everyone looks over, and sure enough, it's the queen is now making her entrance. And she's wearing this, you know, bright green Hightower dress. She's not wearing red. She's not wearing the Targaryen dress that we, you know, we've seen her in red basically since she became the queen. She's wearing this bright green Hightower dress. And the two strong brothers, Larys and Harwin, they, you know, speak it for the viewer. They say, you know, Larys says, you know, do you know the beacon, the light in the Citadel? Do you know what color it lights up when Old Town calls its banners to war? And he says, green. So this green dress is a symbol of, you know, I'm not declaring war. Like, obviously the Citadel is not lighting up green, but it's just kind of like a, hey, you know, look out.
Let's dance. Yeah.
Something's going down.
Yeah.
Like, she's not taking anyone's shit. She's ready to go to war, you know, politically. And that, you know, she's got this knowledge of Sir Criston and Rhaenyra, and her father was wrongfully dismissed. So she's not happy at all for Rhaenyra. She even, you know, has a little comment and I forget what exactly she says when she says hi, but it was a very icy greeting.
The whole scene is tense. I mean, it's tense as shit. Like, I wrote that down in notes. It was just really, it was like old Thronesy intense. Like, we haven't had too much of that right now, but this was, you were feeling it for sure, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's tense between, you know, Alicent and Rhaenyra. It's tense between Alicent and Viserys.
Yes.
And we haven't seen that before.
Yes, and you had Damon in the mix. You had all understand everything, and everything is just fucking tense in this scene. It felt great. It felt Thrones again for sure. But go ahead, Kerr.
So we have, you know, Viserys finishes up his speech. He has to ask Sir Lionel, you know, where was I? Sir Lionel helps him out.
Yeah.
Says, you know, we're gonna bring in a second age of dragons and unite these two great houses. We're gonna have 7 days of tournament and feasting, and then at the end, you know, we'll have the wedding. And during this, you know, we're seeing a lot of different characters, you know, up close on the screen, and we see Damon, who, you know, Damon, he's always just kind of chilling when he sits, like he's never like paying attention. He's just like relaxed, laid back.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting there, and he's, you know, he's making eyes at Rhaenyra. He's making eyes at Laena.
Yes.
Interesting. And you know, Laena sees him, and at the same time we have Sir Joffrey is also kind of observing the crowd. So they start the ceremony of this celebration. Laenor and Rhaenyra are dancing and having a good time, and everyone else joins in. But yeah, so Joffrey's looking around and he's trying to figure out if there's any tell, if he can tell who is Rhaenyra's paramour.
Yes.
And I guess just from eye contact or from the way Sir Criston's looking, he puts two and two together and realizes, okay, I think it's Sir Criston. I think it's him. And this is, he even calls Laenor over and says, it's Sir Criston Cole. Like, I know it. Look at him. Look at the way he's looking at her. Says some interesting phrasing. But he says, you know, it's got to be him. And this is good because, you know, if you know, if she knows your secret and, you know hers, then
it's all good. All
you're both protected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
So the next dialogue we have is Sir Gerald Royce walks right up to Damon and has some choice words for him. And Damon, again, he's like, basically has his feet on the table. He's sitting back, just relaxing. He says, you know, yeah, who are you? Like, he has no, just so disrespectful. He probably knows who he is. He's wearing the bronze armor that his wife wore. He probably knows who it is.
Correct.
But just so disrespectful. You know, so Gerald Royce threatens Damon, says, you know, in the Vale, people pay for their crimes. And he's like, all right, well, in King's Landing, people pay for their slander. So, you know, you're making an accusation, and we're not in the Vale. So, and Damon just keeps pushing the envelope. He's so cocky. He's so arrogant. He says, oh, you know, by the way, yeah, my poor wife, I'm heartbroken. But you know, we didn't have any heirs. So I think I get her inheritance by law. So she was gonna inherit, you know, Runestone, right? Yeah, okay. So I'll take that. I'll be there later.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll see you.
Yeah.
So it was. He's right. I mean, he's right. But he's so cocky, so frustrating for Sir Gerald. And Sir Lionel was sitting
the
closest one to Damon, so he heard all of that. So, keep an eye on him, see, you know, what he does with that knowledge. Viserys probably heard it as well, but he was a little further down, and he's struggling, so who knows. But Sir Lionel heard all of it, Lord Lionel.
Yeah, he was locked in. He was locked in for sure. Good note there, Curry. All right, then we get Joffrey with Sir Criston Cole, right?
Right. So, as we said, Laena, Damon make an eye contact. They kind of share a dance for a bit. Then Damon goes to dance with. Oh no! Sorry. This is the first Sir Criston Cole and Joffrey. Sir Joffrey and Sir Criston, not the second one.
Yeah.
So Sir
slightly Joffrey slightly goes different up. Outcomes.
Yes. So Sir Joffrey, he goes up to Sir Criston Cole, so introduces himself. We find out his name. Says he's, you know, the knight who kisses, and you know Sir Criston is very stoic. He just has had an emotional roller coaster of an episode up to this point.
Yes.
So he's like, you know, I don't want to hear it. He's not a big talker to begin with. But Sir Joffrey's just kind of like circling him, just circling him like a snake. He's like, you know, look, like, sir, he's a lot. Laenor is very close to me, just as Rhaenyra is very close to you. And you know, we're sworn to guard them. and their secrets. He's, you know, he's saying to him, hey, I know your secret, but he's also kind of saying, I'm you. Like, we're in the same boat here. So he says, you know, we'll guard them and their secrets, and if they're safe, then we're all safe. So it wasn't threatening.
No.
I guess it could be taken as a threat, but he was just kind of
acknowledging.
He was introducing himself.
Yeah.
He was introducing himself and letting him know this is reality. This is the situation we're in, and let's not mess this up.
Yeah, and it's almost like, hey, like, I know you're gonna be around, like, just FYI, I'm gonna be around too, and this is why, you know, and I get it, and let's roll, you know. So it wasn't super threatening, really. But then we get to the dance floor, wedding or welcome party dance floor. Some shit's going down.
Yes. So Damon and Rhaenyra, he goes and seeks her out. They're speaking in Valyrian as they usually do. And you figure that between the Valyrians and the other Targaryens there, that someone has to speak Valyrian.
Yeah. But, right.
Anyway, so yeah, they're talking to each other, and Viserys' eyes are on them pretty much the whole time, it looks like.
For good reason.
Yes, because last time he saw his brother was his brother allegedly slept with his daughter and was trying to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
So he was pissed. So they're talking, and he's like, you know, is this what you want? Is this really what you want? And Rhaenyra, who, you know, last time she saw him, she was trying to, you know, go all the way with him. And he wasn't having it. He pulled back. So she's like, look, like, is this what you want? Like, I'm here. Take me. You know, take me to Dragonstone. Make me your wife. Like, you know, you're running out of time. I'm getting married. So
it was wild.
It was. It really was. And I think, you know, her saying that, like, she knows it's not going to happen. I think she kind of is if not teasing Damon, just kind of like poking him a little, you know, trying to get a rise out of him. But she's also genuine. I mean, she even says, you know, oh, I hear it's, you know, marriage is just political. So she's leaving that door open. But also, you know, Damon, he definitely wants Rhaenyra, I think. But,
yes.
Also the political aspect of it is, if the two of them were to have gotten married, or at some point if they get married, then that strengthens the you know, Rhaenyra claim for the throne, because then, you know, Damon also has a claim, and the two of them together would be united.
Very much so.
So they're having these conversations. It's flirty. It's hot and heavy. And Damon, it looks like he's leaning in for a kiss, and Rhaenyra's also, you know, it looks like they're gonna kiss.
Yeah.
And it cuts away, and all of a sudden there's just this huge commotion in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't see what's going on. We don't know what's going on. Some soldiers like rush in from outside. And at that point I was like, is there an attack? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
what are these guys doing from outside?
Yes.
And then, I mean, I kind of put it together as I was watching, just based on, you know, we saw it in the trailer very briefly. There was a shot of Criston Cole, looked like he was, you know, attacking someone, and that's what we got. We got Sir Criston Cole just absolutely hammering his fist into the face of Sir Joffrey.
Incredible.
Him on the ground, just burying punches into his skull, and came out of nowhere. They, like, their interaction, yes, was it you know, tense? Yes. Was it a threat? A little bit. I mean, but at the same time, it wasn't something that should have gotten this response. So he beats him to a pulp with his bare hands in front of everyone. And there was a much larger scuffle than I thought there would be for just two guys. And it would seem like a fight that was pretty one-sided. But yeah, there was commotion all over the wedding. So I don't know what else was going on. If Damon got involved in anything, Rhaenyra.
Yes.
And, you know, Sir Harwin gets involved at the request of Lionel. He kind of gestures to his son, and
get in
Sir
there.
Harwin, he's one of the strongest guys in King's Landing. He gets in there, and he starts knocking heads and grabs the princess and throws her over his shoulder and makes sure that she's safe. So that was a good move by the two of them. So Sir Criston kills Joffrey, and, you know, it was just wild. It was unexpected, and really, you know, capped off off the episode. And then, you know, there's a couple scenes at the end here, but it's just like that was the biggest single event of the episode. And then, you know, after that we have, I guess they decided to get married that day.
Yeah.
Like right away. I guess they're canceling the tournament and feast, maybe. I don't know.
But yeah.
They do the marriage right away. Sir Lord Laenor's in tears. He's struggling because his lover just got beat to a pulp and is dead. So then, you know, we have Sir Criston goes to the Godswood. He's like taking off his armor, his cape, his white cloak, because, you know, he said that's all I have. All I have is this. You know, I'm a poor knight. Like, this is all I have.
Yeah.
So he goes to the Godswood, and you know, it's no surprise to the viewers what's happening. It seems like he's going to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's like taking off his armor, taking off his cloak. He's got like a little dagger out. He drops his big sword. He's got like a little dagger out, and he looks like he's going to stab himself. I thought maybe in the heart to be a little, you know,
mm-hmm.
dramatic. But before he delivers it, Queen Alicent is there and she stops him. So that was that's where that scene ended. And then the last thing we see on the episode is back to the wedding, and Viserys had a bloody nose during the commotion. We should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
So that was another clue as to his struggles. So Viserys faints, falls on the ground,
hits the deck.
The wedding. And this was like right after they had just delivered like their vows, you know, to the gods or whatever. So I think it's official.
Yes.
I think so. And yeah, so Viserys hits the deck, faints, and then there's a shot, the last shot we see, there's like a rat like sniffing, eating by like a puddle of blood.
Yes.
So whenever there's a rat on your screen and you're watching a movie or a show, it's usually symbolic. Very, very much like what is it? The Departed, the famous rat in The Departed. So, mm-hmm. So there's a rat in the midst. And that's the end of the episode.
Why does Sir Criston kill our boy?
Sir Criston, you know, from what we saw in this episode, you know, he
it's not crystal clear. It's not crystal clear, though.
It's not crystal clear, yeah, but I don't want to say he regrets, you know, his time with Rhaenyra, but he's definitely, you know, somewhat ashamed of it, and he doesn't want, you know, now he already confessed to the queen and said, you know, kill me. Like he's really, you know, he takes his duty seriously and he feels really bad about breaking his vows and you know, deflowering the princess and. So he really feels bad about it, even though earlier in the episode he wanted to run away with her.
Yes.
But and you know her rejection, you know, saying, you know, him saying, oh, so you want me to just be your whore? Like that doesn't make him feel good. So he's not happy about the situation. He's not happy about what he's done. So he probably there's definitely some regret, and I think because of that, and now the fact that he told the queen, like now the fact that it's getting out. I think it's just kind of it's really bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
And this Joffrey guy, I mean, he was kind of a dick about it. He was asking him these questions, you know, saying, you know, I'm close with Laenor, and I understand you're close with you know, he's poking him, prodding him, and Sir Criston doesn't like it, and yeah, he just kind of snaps. Like I don't have anything more for you. Like I don't think anyone told him to do it. I don't know if it was like if he saw it as like an honor thing or a duty thing where like, okay, this guy's kind of a threat to Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
So maybe I should take him out. I don't know. But yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. I think if I had to rule on it, you know, my opinion, I would say, yeah, he just, everything, this emotional roller coaster he was on this episode, it, you know, the conversation with Sir Joffrey just kind of, you know, it put him over the edge.
Yeah. And I mean, he just totally, I mean, talk about like love struck, you know, after one late night with the princess. I mean, he's asking, first he's shooting a shot, then he's confessing to the queen, then he's you know, very much beating the hell out of, you know, a potential, I guess, threat, not really physical threat, but political threat, I guess. Like, just this guy is absolutely scattered after his evening with the princess, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite as brutal as like the mountain and the viper.
No.
But similar to, remind me of like in Fight Club when Brad Pitt like smashes that guy's head in, Jared Leto smashes Jared Leto's head in, like, mm-hmm. Or I guess Edward Norton is doing it and Brad Pitt, whatever. But yeah, it reminded me of that scene, if you're familiar, and not quite mountain and viper, but it was just a notch below that. Like, this guy's head was just in pieces.
All right. Give me just general reaction again. Like, give me general thoughts, general takeaways, general, maybe just a little bit of look forward or takeaways, I should say.
Let's see. So some general takeaways from the episode. So this is the last episode that we see some main actors. So, you know, hats off to tip of the cap, standing O for for Emily Carey and Millie Alcock as Queen Alicent and Princess Rhaenyra. They were both phenomenal, and it's going to be, I think they're both going to be tough acts to follow, especially Rhaenyra. I mean, I think the public, the audience, the viewers have really grown to appreciate Rhaenyra and Millie's representation of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be a tough adjustment, at least for the first episode, but we'll see. I mean, I didn't watch the trailer, but I presume there's going to be a pretty large time jump coming up. So
yeah,
it's a necessary change. And Rhaenyra herself, you know, she's played by different actresses, but she's also, you know, she's growing, she's changing as a person. So maybe we'll see a lot of that, you know, with a new actor.
Got it. I think it's a turning of the page for sure. I think that the setup for where this goes from here is a lot more clear in terms of, you know, the succession. You know, we were almost like, all right, where's the drama going to come from? Oh, well, we're queued up for some serious drama, for sure.
Go
ahead.
I think early in the season, it was, okay, Damon or Rhaenyra, who's it going to be?
Yep.
But now it's clear that it's going to be, you know, Rhaenyra versus Aegon. Who we haven't even seen yet. You know, we saw him as a baby. We saw him as a on his name day. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him in two episodes. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see the time jump with Aegon. Interesting to see what happens with the king. Did we just see? Is that the last? Are we going to see Viserys again on our screen?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question. Are we going to see? How much longer is he going to be on the screen?
Yeah.
You know, is it are we getting a 10-year time jump and Viserys is still around, or are we getting, you know, a quick hitter of, you know, a couple months and Viserys is dead and then we jump 10 years? You know,
yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I think if I had a guess, I would say the
trailer gives it away for next week.
Okay.
He's around.
All right, so then I'll get into it on the preview podcast.
Yeah.
After I watch the trailer, but I'll say, you know, Viserys is probably still alive and he'll probably die next week.
He's around and he looks
10-year jump.
He looks horrible. I'll just put it that way. He looks terrible. Top two episode for the season, right? That's what I feel. I think
so far, yeah. I mean, it's been getting better. So I hope by the end of the season this isn't a top two. I hope by the end this is just like,
yeah, this is a start
above average.
Yeah,
this is really.
It felt Thronesian for sure. Any other takeaways before we get to Goat and Woot?
Any other takeaways? So we saw, you know, the two Strong brothers had some key roles in this episode again. Larry Strong, this was his biggest episode. We
yes.
had only seen him really once before, so definitely got to keep an eye on him. And his, if he has any sort of political aspirations or you know, if his dad actually is kind of behind it the way that Plato was. I don't think he is on
no.
the record, but
no.
But got to keep an eye on Larys Strong, and even Harwin Strong. You know, we We've seen him a lot so far, but there hasn't been he's been on the screen a lot. He's had some key scenes, but we really don't know anything about him yet. So I feel like there's still more to come with him. Might not even be this season, but I feel like there's more to come. And who else? I mean, it's Sir Criston, and is a big takeaway. What's going to happen with him? He clearly is struggling mentally. Doesn't want to be around anymore.
No.
And feels really, he's remorseful about a lot of things. But Queen Alicent seems like she probably wants to keep him around.
Yeah.
As a pawn, you know, as she kind of has this inside info on him. She could use him to her advantage as you know, some sort of spy or just, you know, blackmail.
Yeah. Or hey, you can confirm this happened, right? Like, yeah, that type of
thing. Yeah, or as a key witness, you know, literally. Something like that.
Yeah, important stuff. All right, let's get to Goat and Woat, Kerr.
Goat and Woat, let's see. So we'll start with Goat. I think, let's see, who had a good episode?
Goat is whoever had the best episode of the week. Woat, whoever had the worst episode of the week. Follow the Twitter right after Hot D, right after HOTD, right after House of the Dragon, HOTD. That's where we put out the tweets, where we put out the polls, where we put out the podcasts. Give us a follow right there. Curry, Goat of the Week. Who are the best episodes?
I think we could throw Damon on there. Kind of a minor episode for him, but mm-hmm. some good things happened. One, he killed his wife. So for Damon, that's a win. Mm-hmm. Allegedly killed his wife. And two, that's one. Two, he still has this connection with Rhaenyra.
Yep.
And she's in this political marriage, so he, you know, door's still open there for him. So I think those two things, and all, you know, he made his return to King's Landing and wasn't immediately killed or anything.
Yeah.
So I think all that adds up to a win for Daemon. I think he could be GOAT this week. Other candidates, you got anyone off the top of your head?
I'm trying to think because there's some people that had good episodes. I'm trying to think. I mean,
you could say Lord Corlys Velaryon. I mean, his son's getting married, but like he himself didn't really do much this episode.
Yeah,
and you could say Lionel Strong, maybe.
You could say you would say, yeah, I will say, Kerr. I think this might be our winner, actually.
Who do you got?
Baby Aegon,
who it wasn't even on camera, but his claim grows stronger every day.
Yeah, and he's got you know, a mom that appears to be willing to go to war for him. And that was not the case when this episode started. Plato is out of town. Hightowers were, you know, very much taking a back seat to Rhaenyra and the future. And now Baby Aegon he's got his mom in his corner. It looks like she's gonna be making this push for him and you know, his claim and push to the crown, I think, got a lot stronger this episode for sure.
Yeah, we definitely throw him on there. I think we could throw Alicent on there for, you mm-hmm. know, the first time making her own political moves, mm-hmm. not, you know, just doing her father's bidding. You know, the green dress apparently is a bold statement. So
yeah,
bold moves from the queen.
Got it. How about Woat? Who are the worst episode, Kerr?
A lot of choices for Woat.
Yes,
I think just. Some obvious ones, Sir Criston Cole.
Yes.
That was really bad. I mean, it ended with him trying to kill himself or almost killing himself. So
yeah.
Very bad episode for him. He shot a shot with the queen, with the princess, got shut down, and he did not take it well. And yeah, so bad episode for him. King Viserys, obviously, it ended with him fainting.
Yeah.
He looks like shit. He's a shell of a man. He's crumbling.
Yes.
Literally, like his fingers are crumbling. He's got leeches from the worst doctor ever. Viserys not doing well.
Yeah. Those are definitely the top two for sure.
Those are top two. I think you could throw Sir Joffrey on there.
100%.
We hardly knew ye. Just head bashed in and one episode.
Yeah, he went from
in the same vein. You can throw Laenor Velaryon on there.
Yes.
Because he just got married and was supposed to have this arrangement, and now his part of the deal is kind of, you know,
screwed,
useless for him. And, you know, he seemed like he had a pretty good relationship here with Joffrey. It wasn't just like a fling.
Mm-mm.
And he was heartbroken. So tough one for him. On top of that, I mean, just some simple ones. Ray Royce, she died.
Yes.
Just shitty episode. Again, hardly knew you. So Gerald Royce, who we haven't seen the last of, but he, you know, challenged Damon, and Damon just shut him down with ease. And who else? You know, Plato, we barely saw him. But, you know, he didn't have the worst episode.
No.
But there's no shortage of woke candidates this week.
Absolutely. Anything else, Craig, before we shut it down?
Anything else? I mean, I'm, again, always looking forward to next week. We will watch, you know, watch the trailer, watch inside the episode, that kind of stuff, before the preview pod for next week. Or, you know, we'll wrap up this week's episode with some final thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and break down everything that HBO releases leading up to next week's episode.
Got it. And I think one thing, just to, I think a big just thing, like, takeaway from the episode for me is Rhaenyra's, like, yeah, maybe she's, you know, speaking in jest a little bit, but I mean, she did kind of call out Damon and just say, hey, like, let's fucking do it, like, if you want to, you know what I'm saying? So, like, there's a little bit, it's hard to tell exactly if it's like completely like just like poking at him, or also like kind of like, hey, like, I'm down, like, I'm super into you, you know what I'm saying? And so I just don't know like where that goes, because what was happening when everything started to pop off was like they're about to hook up. She's about to kiss him at her freaking welcome party for her wedding.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
So it's like,
I think she's into him. I mean, I think that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, I just think that storyline is, I think the act of willingness to, I mean, imagine that, just, you know, Sir Criston Cole doesn't step in. We're getting an absolute anarchy makeout session on the dance floor between Damon and Rhaenyra, and like all hell breaking loose.
Yeah.
So like that.
And, you know, now that Sir Criston is possibly out of the picture, I mean, to be determined, but, you know, her next best option might just be Uncle Damon.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if he's down with being a side piece, then that could be an option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, you ready to shut it down, Kerr?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to shut it down. Again, as always, follow the Twitter at @RightAfterHOTD and listen to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, whatever service you use, and make sure rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars if you're a fan of the pod. We appreciate it.
Awesome. For Curry, this is Dats. You'll hear us midweek on a little preview pod for next episode. As always, this is Right After Dragons.